Hey, hello, hello. Welcome to this Jumpstart on Microsoft Virtual Academy on the subject of jQuery. This ought to be a fun one. My name is Jeremy Foster, and with me today is Rachel Appel. How are you doing today, Rachel?
Doing well, Jeremy. How are you?
Good. Are you ready for a whole day full of fun?
Whole day full of fun.
Long fun on a good topic. I think everybody's going to like today's topic. It's a classic, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm surprised there's not a jumpstart for it already.
Yeah, frankly, yeah. I think it's the winner in the category of should have existed 2 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
Great. Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and give you an overview of the content that we're going to be doing today. We've got 7 modules for you. We're going to start by introducing these modules and then introducing jQuery itself, and then we're going to walk you through a lot of the fine points of this library.
Yes.
And there are some real fine points to it. A lot of times, you'll find courses on just one of these subjects of jQuery, and we're going to try to cover them all today.
Yeah.
We'll see how we do.
Lofty goals.
Well, Rachel, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell folks what you do and where you come from.
Sure. So I'm Rachel Appel, and I focus on web technologies like ASP.NET, HTML5, and all of that kind of good stuff. I blog at rachelappel.com, so you can actually see articles about jQuery, ASP.NET, HTML there. I go around speaking at conferences about this stuff, writing about it, teaching it, and actually developing in it as well. So, a total Microsoft nerd, that kind of thing. Sometimes I venture into non-Microsoft things too, but I'm on campus now, so we'll pretend I don't.
All right, now I'll introduce myself. Many of you know me already. I've done a number of these virtual academies. They're a lot of fun to do. Again, my name is Jeremy Foster, so I go by Code Foster online, and you can also find me on Twitter at Code Foster. Wrote one book, so I guess I get to use the title author. That's fun, and I'm also glad it's over. Presenter and coder. I've got a podcast called Code Chat and an app called Code Show that we've discussed a few times here on MVAs. So yeah. Well, with that out of the way, I think we should go ahead and dig into some content. But let's talk about you guys, the audience. Who are we expecting that you are in order to join us for this course on jQuery? And I just have to say, we're really going to have the expectations set low here. jQuery is more of an entry-level topic. It's not something where you're going to need to have a ton of experience to wrap your head around these concepts. It's not a big leap. It's really not. This is going to be pretty reasonable as far as understanding this. You probably do have to have some web stack experience. So what kind of experience would you guess that people need to have in order to understand the beginnings of jQuery?
Right. At a minimum, well, you need a little bit of HTML. Right. That's kind of, you can't go anywhere without that. Once you have HTML, then you're going to need at least a little bit of CSS just to know what it is. And as you start to work with jQuery more, CSS will more become your friend.
Yeah.
As well. So we want that. A little bit of JavaScript, but the good thing about jQuery is that you don't need to be a hardcore JavaScripter.
Yeah. Right? In fact, and it's not recommended, but I think a lot of people end up using jQuery because they don't like writing JavaScript.
I would agree.
But we'll try to avoid that. A couple of suggested supporting material links that you can go to. You can go to mva.ms. That's what you're currently watching. There are a lot of other courses, though, that will get you introduced to the general concepts of the web platform. And also, I found Codecademy is a really good one. There's specifically a jQuery track on there. And so that's another way that you can go learn how to use jQuery. Now, the MVA community is an exciting one. I really love talking about this one. Actually, I don't know when I'm actually going to update my slide. I've delivered a couple of these with the old number, 1 million registered users here, when actually the number has crossed 2 million, so this should be updated to 2 million. But yeah, woohoo! But MVA is a really cool online learning community. One of the things I really love about it is that I can go sign into MVA, and then it remembers what I've watched and where in each module and section I am, so I don't have to try to remember if I've already seen that one or not. So that's great. And I also get some like gamer points, you know, some recognition points so I can compete with people on how many videos I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah. That's the fun part, you know, you and your friends going through all the videos. Who knows more? Who's got more done? But in the end, who could code it best?
And you can get 50 of these points if you go to aka.ms/MVA-voucher. I'm guessing that might be case sensitive, so be aware of that. And enter this code, intro jQuery, that does expire in approximately a month. So be wary of that. And there you are. You're on the MVA community. We're really glad you're here with us. So let's get a little bit of an overview of the day. Rachel, you want to help me with this one?
Yeah, sure, of course. Starting out with the intro is our first module, where to get it, what it is, all that good stuff. Then we'll start with selection, which is the core pieces of working with jQuery. Then on to manipulating the DOM, an extension of the core parts. And then more advanced topics, events, effects, Ajax, and libraries. So we move from the core parts often to doing things like making sure it's cross-browser, making sure the events work and a cross-browser and all that good stuff. And an Ajax, because everybody loves Ajax.
Everybody loves Ajax. Yeah, and if any of these words don't register for you yet, that's fine. We'll explain them when we get there. Okay, so let's start off with a jQuery 101. This is the very beginnings of jQuery. So first of all, what is it?
What is it? Good question.
What is jQuery?
I don't know, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
So maybe you'll be able to tell us.
Love that joke. So what is it? It's a library. And what happened is jQuery's been out for several years now. And we had a lot of web developers, particularly on the Microsoft stack, that really didn't get into hardcore JavaScript. Plus, JavaScript has traditionally had some issues, not so much JavaScript, but the DOM of the browsers that didn't always play well with JavaScript, and we kind of needed a solution for that. So John Rezig came up with jQuery, mostly for cross-browser manipulation and events and DOM selection. And then, of course, later on, effects and Ajax and all the other good stuff got added in as well.
So kind of a helper library, right?
Very much a helper library.
Yeah.
And it really, it makes the DOM stink less, right? You know, so that it's kind of hard to work with the DOM. It's just a big pain.
Yeah.
But working with jQuery just magically erases all of those DOM problems.
Can you
explain
what you mean by the DOM to
the
folks
DOM.
Who don't understand that?
Right. So if you're not used to what a DOM is called the Document Object Model. And basically, it's when the browser renders HTML and other assets, it creates a tree or a DOM tree. And we need to work with those elements in order to be able to manipulate things on the page, run script, and do other stuff like that. So that's what our DOM is. And years ago, when the internet was first just a baby, JavaScript came out. And JavaScript was meant to work with a tiny little sapling of a DOM, right? Just a little tiny thing. This is when we had the blink tag and like six other tags.
Terrible years.
Good times, right? There's like six tags and, you know, a couple of them blinked. That was it. So that's where JavaScript was really great. But then as technologies evolved and we got more server-side, more client-side, and more complexity, because we developers love complexity, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
After all that started happening, then we really needed something to be able to really get a stronghold on the DOM and be able to work with it effectively. And not just the DOM in one browser, which i.e. was the, you know, the real force of the browsers at that time, but other browsers coming up as well. So all this stuff you'd have to do like three times. But now with jQuery, it lets you select the DOM elements or do whatever, and you don't have to worry about cross-browser support. So as the DOM grew from a sapling to the Amazonian jungle, is what it is now, that's where we needed jQuery to keep up with that explosive DOM.
I do, and I think most people that have been developing on web platforms for some significant period of time remember writing JavaScript and really hating it, because trying to find the element that you're talking about is oftentimes hard, and it's oftentimes pretty opaque. You're not sure when you have found it and if you found the right one, and so you end up with a lot of alerting to figure out where you're at, and just a lot of pains, and then a lot of silent failures with JavaScript. You know, before we had JavaScript 5, before we had the ability to get some, a little bit of kind of strong typed help almost, that would help us to figure out when there was an error that was actually occurring, and that's why nothing else on my page is running. So, yes, there's some very real pains that I know many of you have had that jQuery came along to fix, and I think that is what really contributed to its meteoric rise in popularity.
It came across the scene, and within just a few short years, boom, exploded because people really saw the value in it.
Yeah, it's all everybody was talking about for a while. Let's talk about when is a good time to use jQuery, okay? So we've already discussed what is jQuery. You know the answer to that one. And now we're going to talk about, you know what? I need to back up a little bit. We may have missed some of these points on what is jQuery. There are some really important things here. One of the things that's important is that it's small.
Yes.
jQuery has always had a priority on being small so that whenever you're creating a site, you don't have any inhibitions about including it to be your kind of utility library of choice, because it's only going to add, in some cases, and probably in the most recent version of jQuery, it's only going to add 32K to the download for people.
Yeah. Don't get me started about big, bad JavaScript libraries that are taking up all kinds of memory and bandwidth and everything,
yeah.
Especially with mobile devices, because I was told this is a G show and I'm not allowed to swear.
So we won't get her started.
Don't get me started on that.
Yeah, it's important that it's small. It also is helpful that jQuery is so popular, because this means that if you're serving it by way of any sort of a CDN, then a person's browser looks and sees, oh, hey, jQuery at this CDN, at this popular CDN, I've already got that. It doesn't even have to download it.
Right.
So it can be really performant that way. The fact that jQuery is open, the fact that, you know, it takes contributions from a lot of different people, that's a pretty significant part of the library.
Yeah, awesome. Open source is great, because then we get things like jQuery. So it came out, was open sourced immediately, and you may have noticed the trend with Microsoft open sourcing many products as well.
Yeah.
But this way, everybody can contribute. I know most people don't, but if you find yourself in a situation where you're using jQuery or any open source library for that fact, and you find a bug or something that's not quite right, hit up the team. Ask them. Send them an email. Ask to fork it.
Yeah.
They'll go ahead and they'll let you right in to help out with that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good idea to be a part of the developer community doing that. It is feature-rich and it is fast. It offers traversal and manipulation, where that may not make any sense to you yet, but we're really going to expand on that here pretty soon. We're going to talk all about the event handling characteristics of it. It can add animations into your page, so you can have things move a little bit instead of just flashing from one state to another. Some of you, if you're just starting, don't know what Ajax is, but it offers some really tremendous opportunities for us to dramatically improve the user experience on our pages, because we don't have to keep going back to the server all the time. jQuery is very compatible, which is really nice. They work a lot on that. And it's also cross-browser. It's one of the key characteristics of jQuery is that when you decide to use jQuery for the reasons that you're using jQuery, or for the parts of your website or web app that you're using jQuery, you still have to test in multiple browsers, but you don't have to worry about it working in multiple browsers, because that's all been abstracted away by the jQuery library for you.
Yes, I like that. It's kind of like going through a drive-thru. How American is that, right? So you just go through, hook up jQuery, and then boom, you don't have to worry about compatibility, which is the best thing ever.
Yeah,
right?
That's absolutely right. And by the way, it is extensible. So jQuery, we're gonna really expand on how jQuery is chainable, and how it uses this really interesting paradigm in software development, where all of the objects, all of the methods, or most of the methods in jQuery return the same exact kind of object, which means that you're going to be able to chain all these methods on each other and create some really short code. That's great, and you can actually participate in this by creating your own jQuery plugin really, really easily. So we'll show how to do that. Okay, I think we've thoroughly exhausted the question of what is jQuery, and now it's time to move on to when a person should actually use jQuery. So I think, this is my opinion, I think that jQuery is not a no-brainer decision. I think that people should think about every dependency that they take in their web application. And jQuery is no exception. I think you should think about it, and I think it's a really good candidate for websites. Classic websites, especially ones where you basically just have a bit of content and you want to add a little bit of animation, you want to make any of the coding that you need to do for that site easier. You want that to be easier on yourself, okay? And then if you're talking about web apps, and there's really not technically a line between websites and web apps, but web apps contain a lot of functionality normally. They oftentimes will implement a SPA or single page architecture paradigm where the user lands on one page and stays on that page. And it changes and it looks to them like they're navigating, but really for us as the developers, we get this ease of remaining on one page. That's one of the big characteristics of web apps. And if you're creating small to medium-sized web apps, then jQuery might be a really good option for you, because a small to medium-sized web app is really not a big stretch beyond just core JavaScript. And so jQuery is going to add a little bit of juice for you and make a lot of things a whole lot easier. So that's a really good scenario for it. And then I also had the idea that if you're working on brownfield web applications, and if you don't know the term brownfield, this is in contrast to greenfield applications. Greenfield is when you're working on something brand new, you don't have any existing code that was written 10 years ago. That's a greenfield application. A brownfield application, you do have existing code. You can't completely overhaul the architecture and implement some sort of an underlying framework library. And here, jQuery is excellent because you're going to have to go back and use the paradigms that are already established in that architecture, but jQuery is just going to sit right in there and make all of those things easier. What do you think about that? Do you have any scenarios that you want to add?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Also, if you have, you know, intranet corporate type apps, usually they don't need to be flashy or fancy like public-facing apps, but have a bit of DOM manipulation, so that's great for that. Brownfield apps fall into that category as well. But yeah, not everything is a good fit for jQuery.
Yeah. Right?
Such as some of the SPA apps. You can use it with the SPA app, but you might also want to use something like Angular or another more advanced framework to do those kind of things. And then at that point, jQuery just might get in the way. Where you might want to do data binding and other things instead.
What about jQuery in WinJS apps or in Windows apps that are written using JavaScript?
Oh, yeah. You can actually use pretty much any library in WinRT apps, WinJS apps.
Yeah.
So you can use jQuery. However, there's, you know, a nice set of selectors and whatnot. You could use Query Selector All, and that's what the templates tend to do in Visual Studio. So you might want to just roll with those. That's really kind of up to the developer.
That's what I do. I don't normally take a dependency on jQuery whenever I'm writing Windows apps using JavaScript. I usually just use the core JavaScript because there's enough, you know, there's enough
help there. Yeah, I just roll with that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about some absolutely terrible jQuery scenarios. Like, when would you not want to use it? And I would suggest that you probably don't want to use jQuery as the primary structure in a large web app. Because although it's really helpful, it's not necessarily scalable beyond regular JavaScript. It doesn't help you with the overall scale or architecture of your application. I mean, it might help in a lot of small ways, but it doesn't define an overall skeleton. So instead, you know, if you're building a person, you're going to want to make a skeleton first so you have something to attach the flesh to. And jQuery doesn't necessarily do that. It just kind of makes the fleshing easier.
That's an interesting human metaphor. So jQuery would be like your little grubby paws, right?
Yeah.
And other frameworks might be other parts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's really big like that, again, jQuery just might get in the way. And if you only need it for one or two features, like just selecting DOM elements, well, maybe just learn how to select DOM elements.
Yeah, that's right. And also, when you're just using one or two little jQuery features, it, just like you said, maybe consider not using it and use the core way of doing it, because you're taking a dependency on the entire jQuery library if you're only using one little piece of it. And it's a pretty small library, but still, you don't want to take a 32K dependency when you're only using 1K of it.
Especially on a mobile device.
Yeah.
We have to remember this. It's 2014. And over 70% of web traffic is mobile. So if you're not developing mobile first, or if you're not developing with mobile in mind, you're probably doing it wrong. You know, if you're doing an internal app, again, where you know that wouldn't be the case, although anymore with bring your own device, that kind of is the case, right? So that's the problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd really have to know your audience, and it's still, it's another 32K, and on a phone, that's costing somebody money to access your site. You know, with the data plan, you only get so many gig or whatever. So, you know, that can actually cost somebody money because of your, you know, lack of development skills.
Right? I wonder if they created a model for charging back a portion of that to the developer. I suppose we might think longer and harder about
developers to do the right thing more often.
That's right. You know, I wanted to do something kind of interesting here. We all have experience with the history, not everybody, but many people have experience with the history of jQuery in this, like I said, meteoric rise, and then somewhat of a plateau, and, you know, kind of wondering where jQuery is. So I just went out and looked at the trend on jQuery. And here it is. This really lines up with what I was expecting. You know, here we are in late 2006 or 7, when jQuery is starting to become a thing and people are starting to talk about it. And then here's the steep curve where all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but over time in something like 2012, there's just a whole lot of interest in jQuery. But then here's that plateau that probably most of us would have predicted, and even a decrease in the trend for using jQuery. And so I wondered what might be contributing to this decrease in the trend for jQuery. One of the other libraries that's very popular right now is Angular. And so I went ahead and charted Angular up against this, and look there. I think a lot of folks are using Angular for overall app architecture. And some of the features in Angular really overlap with the need for implementing jQuery at all. And so here comes Angular, and jQuery's falling a little bit outside of, falling a little bit in the realm of popularity.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happens, right? The cool kids come in with this great idea, and then other people get other great ideas from that idea, or, you know, other ideas as well, and then you have that, the plateau, and then a little bit of a round off.
Yep.
Yeah, it doesn't really say anything about jQuery itself. It's still valuable for the cases that it's needed.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, maybe it means that people are starting to use jQuery for what they really need it for,
and they're actually thinking about it's for.
That's right. And there are actually some things that have been introduced in JavaScript itself since jQuery was around that make it far easier to do things with core JavaScript. Rachel mentioned the query selector all, and this is one thing that I think a lot of folks, when I talk to developers at events, I'll oftentimes ask them, who knows that in core JavaScript, there's a query selector and query selector all methods that allow you to do pretty much the same thing that jQuery selectors. And it's a really small percentage of people that still know, that already know about that.
Yeah, that's like JavaScript's hidden little secret.
Yeah.
Like query selector all.
Yep.
Quite like them. Well, they're very jQuery-esque.
Yep, they really are. And in fact, jQuery is going to be using those methods if they're available because it's the native way to do the query selection. Okay, well, Rachel, why don't you help folks get in the getting started? Like, here's a little bit about what jQuery is, but okay, how do I go ahead and plug that in and work with it?
Right. First thing you want to do is just go to jQuery.com. That's pretty easy. From there, there are links to download the jQuery libraries on their own. You can also point at a CDN, and this was mentioned before by Jeremy. A CDN is a content delivery network, and what this is jQuery has their own CDN, and it's where they host the versions of the jQuery scripts. So you can just link to that external location with an anchor to, or, you know, script tag, link to that. And then it does all your caching, does all kind of good stuff for you, and you don't really have to worry about downloading the assets and managing the assets and all that other kind of stuff. Alternatively, if you're using Visual Studio, you can go to the candy store, NuGet, and you could get jQuery out of there, along with just about anything else, because it's the candy store. So various ways to get jQuery. It's pretty easy, but just go to jQuery.com or grab it as a NuGet package or any of that kind of stuff.
Great. All right. Well, how about when they after they've added it to their page, do you want to talk to them about how to get started with, like, how to inject that into their page's workflow? I'm prompting you to talk about the load event.
The ready event. So right after we decide we're going to use jQuery and we obtain it by downloading it or NuGetting it or whatever, then we could go ahead and add that script tag and just link to the jQuery scripts, just like any other script. After we do that, what we want to do is we want to work with the DOM once it is available to be worked with. And that's what's called in jQuery the ready function. And this ready function is what we're going to wrap all the rest of the script for the page in, for each page. And then we could work with it in there and have different methods and functions and whatnot and all that good stuff. The ready function, there should be samples right at the jQuery website. And we might have it on a slide somewhere.
On the jQuery possibly? Website?
No. Do we have a sample of the ready function on a slide somewhere?
I don't have that.
Okay. So it's an
easy... I don't have that ready.
Yeah. Oh, the pun.
I just don't have it loaded.
Right. So that's what happens. So when the DOM is loaded and you can actually go and start working with the elements, that's when the ready function allows your script to run. So it's just a wrapper function that everything else goes in your page.
All right. Are you prepared to show some getting started demos so that people can walk through, or do you want me to do that?
You could do that because I think they're on your box.
All right. I'll tell you what, something I'm going to be using throughout, so you'll have to get used to this, is called CodePen. And I love CodePen. It works really well. It's at codepen.io. And the first thing I hear whenever I go to CodePen is, why aren't you using JS Fiddle or any of the other popular
online... I was just going to ask, why don't you go to JS Fiddle?
Yeah, you know, it's just tool of choice, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, they about do the same thing.
Yeah, they pretty much do the same thing. This one makes me feel a little bit more like a design geek. You know, I didn't design it, but... Okay, so you can actually find me on CodePen. So all of the stuff that I do in front of you today and have ever done in the past is available at codepen.io/codefoster. And if you want to follow me, then whenever I write a pen, it'll, you know, give you a little notification in CodePen. Hopefully you don't want to receive an email whenever anybody writes a pen that you're following. But whenever I make a new pen, you'll be notified that there are new pens that you may want to take a look at. So this is from an old one, but just as an example, here's one where we were talking about the Flexbox. And so I created a couple sliders that allow you to add an arbitrary number of boxes and then change the size of those boxes. So it's really nice because this is an interactive HTML, CSS, and JS snippet, if you will. It's a little tiny app, and all of the code is written over to the side here, and you get to look at all of that code. So that's what CodePen is for. It's for writing and sharing any arbitrary code that you want. And each of these little apps is called a pen. And so I can go to my profile here and write myself a new pen. And if I'm not interested in the CSS, if I'm just maybe writing some HTML and JavaScript, I can close that and I can go down to the right, to the bottom right here and choose CSS again, and I can get that back. So up here in my HTML, I'm going to write a div, and I'm going to close that div, and I'm going to say hello inside the div. And now I've got mine set right now to not automatically update. I found that there are certain things that I do that, like if I do an alert or something and it automatically updates, it runs that, and I'll get stuck in a loop where it's alerting over and over, and it's miserable trying to get out of it. So I go into the JavaScript properties here, and the screen is too small to see the bottom of this, but there's an option in there to turn off the automatically execute. So what I need to do is run it. So I click on run, or I hit Control-Shift-5, and now all of a sudden I see hello. And you might know a little bit of CSS here. I can say that I want all div tags to have red text. And so there I've set that, and when I run it, now my text is red. And you might not be able to read that, so let me bump up that font size for you with a font size extra large. And now hello is extra large. There's actually a setting, if you are presenting like I am, where you can go into your settings and you can say, I want all of my my text over here to be really big, and that's really, really helpful. But that's what CodePen is all about. I've got a number of pens, but watch me try to do something. I know we haven't actually shown you any jQuery yet, but you'll get used to the dollar sign when you're using jQuery. That'll be talked about more in a little while, but suffice to say, for now, the dollar sign represents the jQuery library. Now let me go ahead and say I want to take my div. Let me give this div an ID. Here we go. ID equals hello div. There it is. That's my hello div. And I'm going to say that I want my hello div inner text to equal, we're just going to say hi now. So I'm going to change what that says. So now even though I'm setting it declaratively here in the HTML, now down here I'm changing it to the word hi. Well, let's change it to dollar sign and see what it says with that. It says, nah, that's not going to work. It's going to keep it hello. It's not going to actually change it to anything. So what, you're telling me that dollar sign isn't even available? But it's failing silently here, so I'm going to hit F12 and bring up my browser tools, and I'm going to go to the console, clear it all, and then I'm going to run this again, and you'll see that I'm getting an error that's actually being thrown there, and I'd really like to show this to you in a size that you can see that would be helpful. So I'm going to bring this up and then flip back here and run it again. It'll flip me over here and it'll tell me that, hey, the dollar sign is undefined. So now I've not only got CodePen to write all my code and see the results of it, but I have my developer tools that'll show me the console and the performance and things like that. And it's telling me this dollar sign is not even defined. So what Rachel was just telling you about getting started is what we need to do. We need to include jQuery. Now, if you're including this in a page, you'd be putting this as a script tag inside the page, all right? Now, if you've got your own script tags, you might want to think about whether those go on the bottom or the top. That's a significant consideration. You don't want scripts that are running to be blocking the loading of the DOM, so anything like that, you want to put that at the bottom. Other scripts, you want to make sure that it starts right away, so you want to put those at the top. There's quite a bit of opinion on when you put what where, so we'll leave that for another discussion. But for the most part, we really just need to get a script tag in here. And we could do that manually, but you'll notice that when we're using CodePen, we don't really have the full scope in here. We're basically just writing the body of this HTML. So in CodePen, what we do is we go to our JavaScript gear here. I'm going to close down the CSS and resize this a little bit so that I have a little bit more space. We go to the gear here and we can say, I want to include some other library. So I want the latest version of, for instance, jQuery. That's all it takes here. All I have to do is choose that in the interface and now that's available. Now if you've got some arbitrary script somewhere, you can also include it there. And now what I want to do, because I've included that, is I want to see what happens when I say I want to set that inner text equal to the dollar sign. So let me go ahead and run it. Aha, look at this. Now we actually have something. It's actually setting it to a function. This is the jQuery object. This is like the core of the jQuery object, this little tiny function here. It looks far too small to be the jQuery library, but in fact, that's the root of it. Okay, so now we have it, but that didn't actually show you how you would do it on your page. So let's go look at our developer tools to see what it actually did. Now, if you look at your page here, the HTML page, you're going to see, let me find it for you first. I fully expected it to see it in the head here. So if it's not there, we'll have to call me a liar. Here we go. Okay, just had to find the right index.html, and you can see that it's actually included this script tag with a source, just like Rachel told you. And this one happens to be using a CDN. This one happens to be using a CDN at Google. So that's where it's pulling it. That's a very popular CDN for this. And so this is going to be good at being able to bring it, if the user has already referenced this CDN, it's going to bring it in. Okay, so that's about as much time as we'll spend in this tiny code over here. Let's go ahead and jump back over to CodePen where we can actually read things. And let's talk about how we determine when something actually runs. Now, in order to do this, I'm going to show you a very common function in jQuery. This is the document ready function. And this is a little bit funny. You know, it's always good and bad when somebody gives you 5,000 ways to do something. You know, yeah. There's 5,000 ways, so theoretically it should be easy to stumble on one. But it's also really confusing when you're learning it, because you're like, which is the right way? Which way should I do it? Are there any differences?
Right. Well, that's the thing. There's never just a right way. You know, how often does that happen? Hardly ever.
So how do you write a document ready function?
So I just do the dollar, and then I just wrap a function, parens and a function in it, and that's it. Just the short and easy way.
All right.
Shortest way possible.
She jumped right to the shortest one. Yep. This is the shortest way to write a document ready function in jQuery. It's such a common thing to do that they said, hey, if you just call the jQuery library and you pass us a function, we're going to assume that what you mean by that is this is the document ready function.
Yep. Yep.
Really interesting shortcut. But I'll show you the long version too, just so you know. And this is just one of the longer versions. So you can also access the document object. And this is actually selector syntax, but we're going to go into that soon, so I won't spoil any surprises here. But we can grab that document, turn it into a jQuery object right there, and then call, access the ready and give it a function and say, essentially this, or anything inside here, is what I want to run whenever the document is ready.
Yep.
So there you are. Now you know how to add the script tag to the top of your page to include jQuery. Hopefully you'll add a link to a CDN, and if you're playing around like we are here, you can just use CodePen to have it add that script tag for you. Once you've added the script tag, you can go down and write your document ready, and anything you write in there is probably gonna run at the right time.
Yep, that's the whole point of the ready function, is so that you don't have to worry about when is the DOM loaded, when is content loaded, when can I run stuff, and then, oh, for what browser? That's all done. That's all done for you in the ready function in jQuery.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are subtle or maybe not so subtle differences between the DOM loaded event in the various browsers.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about that if you're using jQuery's wrapper.
Which is what I like, not having to worry about stuff like that. Because as developers, we're supposed to be solving business problems, not solving these kind of little fickle problems.
That's right.
From a library. So,
yep.
Done for
yep.
us.
We don't want to do the plumbing. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the version history of jQuery. Just where, you know, I showed you that it came into prominence, came into being sometime around 2007. And it's had a steep rise and a bit of a plateau, but what does the version history look like throughout there? And you might need to know this because you might need to consider, what version of jQuery do I want to use? Do I always just go with the latest? What do you think?
Well, if you can, go with the latest. Why not, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be enhancements and bug fixes. They're the most important thing. So all software has bugs, even yours, right? Even mine. That's an important thing. Oh, not Jerry's. So bug fixes and just, you know, it's best having the latest, but not always. Sometimes if you have legacy code or brownfield app again, it might be dependent on certain, you know, little quirks of a version. So in that case, then you might have to go with, you know, whatever's out there.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, let me just show you a bit of a chart here. Of the version history of jQuery, so you can get an idea of what the major milestones are and what maybe the breaking changes are. I pulled this directly from Wikipedia, and it shows you from August of 2006, when version 1 came out, the first stable release. You can see that there have been a number of subversion changes, and one of the significant ones was at 1.3, when jQuery kind of forked off the selector engine for jQuery, called it Sizzle, made it a separate project so that it could be introduced into other projects, just the selector engine alone. In 1.5, there was a significant change, and that was the complete rewrite of the AJAX module. So you'll find some libraries or modules that say, we have a jQuery dependency and you have to have 1.5 plus. Things like that, because they're depending on this new version of the AJAX methods.
Right, yeah, those were a couple of the big ones where they did some rewrites and whatnot. Usually if it's just a small enhancement or whatnot, it's not a problem, but you can run into issues with those.
Yeah, that's right. 1.7 was a big one, and that's because the event model significantly changed. They replaced maybe approximately 4,000 ways to tie up events with just one way to rule them all, the on and the off, and we'll go into extensive detail on that soon. After 1.7, there have been still a number of changes, and the biggest was when they rolled to jQuery 2. Some major breaking changes there. They basically dropped support for older versions of IE. There were a lot of exceptional cases in IE that created a little bit of bloat in the jQuery library. It was a little bigger than it needed to be because it was having to do some switching logic to handle all these cases. Everybody knows that including IE6 in your support is going to make for some switching logic, right?
Yep. Yeah, IE, you know, being IE.
Absolutely. And so with 2.0, that support is gone. The file size of jQuery drops dramatically, and all the jQuery developers rejoice.
Yes.
All right. So that's a version history. Here's what we've covered so far, this relatively robust introductory module. That is, what is jQuery? When do I use it? When not to use it? How do I get started with it? And what does a little version history of jQuery look like? Anything else you want to add for folks?
Not really. I mean, we're going to get to everything today, so I think we covered the basics of what it is, why you would use it, and all that for...
And what are you talking about in the next module, Rachel?
Selectors is up next. Selectors and then DOM manipulation.
Yeah, so. Two very related concepts, selecting and DOM manipulating, and one of the really core concepts in jQuery.
Right.
Excellent. Okay, well, we're going to come back in about 10 minutes. To teach you all about selectors and then DOM manipulation. So
see you then.
Tune back in.